I'm Kevin McCauley, Head of London Research at CBRE, and following CBRE's six-monthly breakfast briefing, I'm here with James Beckham, Head of Investment Properties for London, and Stuart Smith, Head of London Occupier Business at CBRE. And we're going to talk about the flexible space market from an occupier and investment perspective. So since 2013, serviced office providers have acquired about 6.5 million square feet of space. And last year alone, they totaled 17% of take-up in the central London market. So Stuart, first over to you, what's underpinning this growth in the flexible service market?
Well, I think there are probably two principal themes. One is the growth of contingent labour, which is happening across every major city in Europe, and particularly so in London. The second theme really is around the disruption to the business community. And that disruption has meant that they have to get their products to market more quickly. It means they're seeking greater collaboration, and it means they're seeking a different type of person to employ. And what this flexible office market product allows them to do is actually address a number of those issues. So create teams, collaborate together, do them more quickly, get into the real estate market more quickly, and therefore get their products to market in a much more timely fashion.
Stuart, that's really, really fascinating. And one of the questions I'm asked quite a lot is this growth likely to continue, and what is the future looking like?
It's been a really interesting journey over the last 18 months. And what we've seen is a continued interest from the occupier community. And in actual fact, the biggest change is that when we started this whole journey into the flexible arena, the occupier was looking at it in a very tactical way. So how could they use a flexible offer to help them execute a relatively short-term real estate strategy? What has fundamentally changed is that they've now brought that into the strategic direction of their real estate. So it's a core part of their long-term real estate strategy. So if that is correct, which I believe it to be, then this is that which underpins the flexible market will be here for a long time. And frankly, I don't see that the disruption that the occupier community is undergoing is actually going to end at any time soon. So yes, this is going to be a part of the market.
And when we look at this growth and how occupiers have embraced the sector, they're doing it for a variety of reasons. But what are the key benefits accruing to the occupier side?
So I think there are a couple of principal benefits. The first, which I've mentioned before, is really that it is an enabler. So as well as being now part of their strategic corporate real estate, actually to get the right long-term real estate strategy, you often need to act tactically, and therefore the flexible environment can be that enabler. But it's also more than that. So people are now using it actively in terms of creating spaces to attract talent, and they're also using it actively to collaborate with partners that they find difficult to attract to their own headquarters, perhaps their own headquarters building that may not be located in the right place or may be beyond their kind of permanent security screen. The last thing I just wanted to say was that there is an interesting issue around pricing. So over the last 12 months, what we've found, and our occupier clients have found, is that actually this is not more expensive than conventional office space. Now, the interesting issue here is whether that pricing, that the current relatively low pricing issue, is a function of the moment in the market where there has been so much space in this sector brought to the market, and will that pricing remain that way? Or will actually the pricing for the flexible space start to rise? And will that therefore then change the occupier's behavior around the use of it tactically or strategically? One of the things that we're developing at CBRE, which is, I think, really quite exciting, is a model that allows us to assess the right choice for an occupier as to whether they take a conventional lease or a relatively short-term lease based on their propensity to change the needs of their business. So effectively, we're trying to put in some automated logic that will allow us to make those decisions. So, I mean, this is a really exciting space and the occupiers are really getting involved and enjoying it.
So James, over to you now for an investor perspective. And as we've heard from Stuart, occupiers have increasingly embraced the flexible space sector. And perhaps we would say that hasn't been entirely the scenario with the investment side. How have investors changed their perspective to the sector over the last few years?
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I think the answer to that question really depends on who you are. So if you're a REIT, this sector is a disruptor. If you're private equity, it's an opportunity. And if you're a long-term income seeking investor, then ironically, WeWork provides long leases as well. So it depends who you are. So just thinking of the REITs to start with. So what's happening? The disruptor, for example, just using WeWork, what's happening is that there's a disintermediation taking place between the smaller occupiers and the larger landlords. So the large landlords, like British Land or Land Securities or GPE, are losing control of the data that's normally supplied by the interaction relationship with those tenants as they grow. Okay, so the reaction is that, for example, British Land, as well known, have created their own brand Story, and they've had some recent successes across central London. They've got 88,000 square feet let, which is a 77% occupancy rate across Story, and they've managed already to retain the relationship with existing tenants on their campuses by putting them into their community-based service office brand. So they're reacting well to that disruption. If you're PE, Blackstone, for example, they've just gone and bought, well, last year, bought for $500 million the controlling share in the Office Group. So they've actually entered the market directly by acquiring a provider of flexible space. So other investors like TH Real Estate and PFA have joined with WeWork in the co-ownership of Devonshire Square as well. So you've got long-term investors directly participating in the flexible space. And then for traditional investors, for example, a year or so ago, I sold Moore Place for Brookfield to Kingboard. Kingboard is a private family coming out of Hong Kong, chemical company. 271 million, 4.85%, 75% let to WeWork, dominates their European HQ. The key thing there is that WeWork had long structured leases in the building. So this particular investor who bought for cash was completely happy with the covenant. We think there was a discount in terms of the WeWork domination of that building, probably by up to between 25 and 50 basis points in terms of the pricing of that deal, were it otherwise let to a traditional investment grade covenant.
So you've raised a really interesting point there in relation to the value implications of the expansion of this sector. And what do you think are those implications for the landlord and investor community?
Yeah, it's a new and emerging sector. So it's quite difficult to price as a result of that. So what we're seeing, however, is that over time, the income will become sticky rather than fluid. The fear of flexible working, of course, is that they disappear quickly. Okay, so the test over time will be how sticky is that income. But when you think of the UK leasing model in the context of Europe, we, of course, have been living in the long land of the long leases. And of course, Europe has been living in the land of the shorter leases. But how do they price income in Europe? It's actually more expensively priced than our long income is here. So there's a little bit of conundrum around how income is priced. So what I suspect will happen is that as this part of the market becomes more mature, has a stronger history in terms of its income profile, I suspect that the yield differential which currently exists will get eroded.